Our sermon today is based on a reading from Daniel, chapter 9, verses 1, 2, and 3. In the first year of Darius, king of son of Ahasuerus by birth of Mede, who became king over the realm of the Chaldeans, I, Daniel, perceived in the books the number of years that according to the word of the Lord to the prophet Jeremiah must be fulfilled for the devastation of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. Then I turned to the Lord God to seek an answer by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Thank you, God, for the brave brothers and sisters who heard and answered your call and started the church where we worship today. Do you like the balloons?
Yes.
Well, thank you, Helen. And thank you, Helen, for getting the balloons, and Scott and Joanna with Blossom's Floral Shop who blew them up for us. 70 is a special number. We definitely should celebrate hitting that milestone. So I searched the Bible for references to the number 70, and this rather odd scripture from the book of Daniel popped up. Daniel was a prophet, and he was privileged to see some marvelous things: the angel Gabriel, the future of God's people, perhaps even our future. Were any of our founders prophets? Did they imagine a future 70 years ahead for the little church they started? A lot has happened in the world and in Rio Doso in 70 years. But just over the past 2 years, there have been some devastating changes that no one could have foreseen. Fire, flood, COVID. We all like to think we'd love to see what the future holds in store for us, but we are not always privileged to have that knowledge, and that's okay. Sometimes we just have to take a leap of faith and get out of our comfort zones, get out of our own way, and step into the great unknown. This is what Daniel expected the exiles of Israel to do when he told them their time of trial and tribulation was over. Take a leap of faith and step into the great unknown and return home. Two things Daniel did made him stand out and serve as a good example for his fellow exiles and for us too. First, even though he was a stranger in a strange land, far away from home and temple and proper worship, Daniel turned to the books of scripture and studied them. I wonder if he had access to some possibly secret or hidden documents some of the captives from Jerusalem had brought with them. Was he just perusing the scrolls, looking for some sign of hope and comfort? Perhaps he wasn't looking for any prophecy about how or when their exile would end. But then he came across the book of the prophet Jeremiah, my personal favorite prophet, and his eyes were opened when he read Jeremiah 25:11, where God said, "This whole land of Israel will be a desolation and a horror, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon 70 years." Jeremiah 29:10 further adds, "This is what the Lord says, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place." Daniel's ears must have pricked up and his eyes must have lit up. I know mine did when I read those words, "my good promise." Has God ever made a bad promise? Has God ever not fulfilled one of his promises? It thrilled Daniel's heart to know God had not forgotten God's people, and God was planning to bring them home at last. The number 70 popped up for Daniel yet again, another promise he could cling to. 70 weeks are decreed for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to put an end to sin, and to atone for iniquity, to bring in everything righteous, to seal both vision and prophet, and to anoint a most holy place. We like to say all good things must come to an end, but often bad things come to an end as well. I won't go into all the academics of the meaning of the 70 weeks, but most scholars agree it wasn't 70 actual weeks, it was more 70 weeks of years, 7 times 70 years, 70 sevens, so 490 years altogether. Part of what was encompassed in the punishment was that the people had not been observing the seventh year Sabbath as God had decreed when the land was allowed to rest. No planting, no plowing, no reaping or sowing. It was a time when debts were forgiven and slaves were freed. But the Israelites had neglected this dictate from God, so their years in exile were a way of atoning for that neglect. The second thing that makes Daniel a great example is that when he realized the exile was ending, he prepared for the time when the people would return home. He turned to God with prayer and supplication, confessing the people's sins and their remorse. He prayed, "O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act and do not delay." He fasted and put on sackcloth and ashes. Daniel had already established a robust prayer life for which he got into trouble once. Three times a day, Daniel knelt before the window in his house that faced Jerusalem and prayed to God. Some of the king's henchmen ratted Daniel out because the king had made a decree that no one in the kingdom was to pray to anyone except the king. Daniel ignored the edict and kept right on praying. And that's how he ended up or down in the lion's den. But when he was released, he continued to pray and study, and that's how he discovered the time of exile was almost over. When Daniel announced that it was soon going to be time to return to the homeland, how did the people react? Were some of them excited to go back? Were some of them reluctant? Were they worried about what they would find there? Were their homes still there, or would they have to rebuild them from scratch? What about crops and herds and things like that? How would they make a living? Undoubtedly, some of the exiles were quite comfortable in Babylon and were loath to leave when they knew what they knew for the unknown. But others, I'm sure, were eager to take that big, bold step. Leaving an established church and starting a new one is a big, bold step. The FCC disciples wanted something different from what was already available in Ruidoso. They wanted a church that would be more open, more welcoming, and the Christian Church Disciples of Christ fit their desire in a denomination. One of our disciples' mottos is, "In essentials, unity; in non-essentials, liberty; in all things, charity or love." Our founders were looking for a new way to live and love and serve the community, and this is the legacy they have bestowed on us: unity, liberty, charity, welcome, acceptance, love. Last week I noted that biblically 7 is the number of completeness and 10 is considered holy, as in the 10 commandments. So 70, which is 7 times 10, is holy and complete. Does it mean our work is done since we are now 70 years old? I say no. 70 in this case, as in the case of the easing of the exile, 70 is a number of beginning, not ending. We've completed one go-round of 70 years. Now we need to begin a new one, a new cycle of love and openness and welcome and witness and service. So we need to do what Daniel did. We need to study God's word and make sure we are hearing it properly and following it staunchly. We need to listen for Christ's clear call for what he would have us to do. Christ's mandates include taking care of one another and taking care of the other. It includes welcoming the stranger, feeding the hungry, giving water to the thirsty, sharing God's love with everyone. So we also need to pray. Now, I don't think we have any sackcloth or ashes lying around, which symbolize to God one's sincere repentance for past sins. The fasting isn't so hard to do. Fasting symbolizes your commitment to discerning and following God's will. When I fast for something, I'm saying, "I want to attune my will to yours, God. I sincerely would like this outcome for which I fast, a healing, a helping, a hoping to come to pass. I'm willing to make a sacrifice in order for it to come into being." As we go into our next 70 years, we have to remain true to our convictions. We know what Jesus asks of us. We need to pray that we can better follow his lead and do his will. Daniel's people and the land awaiting their return were ready for a new beginning. I think we are too. And we can take comfort from something else Daniel undoubtedly read in Jeremiah's words, Jeremiah 29:11. "For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give your future with hope." I, for one, am down for that, a future with hope. Are you? Yes. Let us pray. Thank you, God, once again for those past friends who wanted to create a future with hope, a church of welcome and acceptance and love, of worship and service. Help us to carry on their legacy and the legacy that Jesus Christ has left to us, to be and to share the good news, and to be a haven for all who seek your face and your grace and your peace. Help us prepare ourselves for the wonderful things you have in store for us during our next 70 years. Amen.
This is my song, praising my Savior.